Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agrawal, Head of Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a review of operations of the company for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2022. For the fourth quarter of FY 2022, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 30.1 million, recording an increase of 5.6% year-on-year. For the year 31, 2022, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 123,049 million, recording an increase of 12.4% year-on-year. Before we get into the detailed discussions on the businesses, the following were the key highlights of the year. Number one, Glenmark listed its wholly owned API subsidiary, Glenmark Life Sciences Limited, on the Indian exchanges. The IPO, which consisted of a fresh issue of rupees 10.6 billion and offer of for sale of up to 6.3 million shares by the company, was subscribed by over 44 times. Number two, Glenmark was listed in the prestigious Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the fourth consecutive year. The company is among only 15 companies from India to be listed on the DJSI Emerging Markets Index this year. Also, Glenmark was the first domestic pharma company to raise sustainability-linked loans by raising $228 million in SLLs during the year. A detailed ESG profile of the company is available under the investor section on our website. Number three, in third quarter FY 2022, Ichnos entered into an exclusive licensing agreement with Almirall S.A. for the IL-1RAP antagonist ISB-880. Under the agreement, Almirall is granted global rights to develop and commercialize this monoclonal antibody for autoimmune diseases. Ichnos received an upfront payment of euro 20.8 million and will receive additional development and commercial milestone payments and tiered royalties based upon future global sales. Number four, as per IQVIA in April 2021, Fabiflu became the highest-selling drug in the Indian pharma market among all therapies. The success of Fabiflu is a testament to the end-to-end capabilities of Glenmark to offer patients quality medicines with affordable access. Number five, Glenmark was selected for the Production-Linked Incentive PLI scheme aimed at improving India's manufacturing capabilities and enhancing exports. Glenmark is one of 11 companies under Group A selected for the scheme. Number six, Europe business achieved significant milestones of $200 million annual revenues for the first time. Number seven, Glenmark had several successes in its core respiratory franchise during the year. The company received U.S. FDA approval for its NDA product, Ryaltris, in the U.S. and marketing approval in all 17 markets across EU and U.K. during the year. On to the businesses. First, the India business. Sales from the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter FY 2022 was at rupees 8,847 million and as against rupees 8,238 million in the previous corresponding quarter, recording growth of 7.4% year-on-year. The India business contribution was at 29% of the total revenues in Q4. As per Jan-March 2022 IQVIA data, the non-COVID base portfolio grew 15.5% as compared to the non-COVID IPM growth of 10.6% during the quarter. The India business continues to significantly outperform industry growth rates, continuing the trend of the past several years. As per IQVIA data, Glenmark was one of the fastest-growing companies in the industry among the top 20 players on a March 2022 basis, with growth of 23.8% as compared to IPM growth of 17.4%. For the year, Glenmark's India formulation business is ranked 13, up one rank from last year, and its market share has increased to 2.4% as compared to 2.34% last year. In terms of market share, Glenmark's India business further strengthened its position in its core therapy areas such as cardiac and respiratory. As per IQVIA MAT March 2022, the cardiac segment market share increased to 4.96% as compared to 4.76% last year. The respiratory segment market share increased to 5.43% as compared to 4.96% last year. The company was ranked second in derma, fourth in respi, and sixth in cardiac segment during the year. The India formulation business achieved several important milestones during the financial year. As per IQVIA MAT December 2022, Fabiflu was the sixth largest brand across all brands in India during the period. Ascoril D Plus became the 10th brand of Glenmark to enter the IPM 300 brand league. The company now has 10 brands in the top IPM 300 brands in the country, up from 6 brands last year. The company launched 7 new products during the quarter and 31 products during the year. Amongst key launches during the quarter, the company launched the novel Zeta Plus Pio, which contains teneglipton 20 mg, pioglitazone 15 mg, to be taken once a day, and is the first of its kind in India, offering a world-class and affordable treatment option to adult diabetic patients. Glenmark's consumer care business. GCC business of rupees 619 million in the fourth quarter and rupees 1790 million in FY22. With secondary sales growth of 23.4% in Q4 and 12.6% year-on-year in FY22 respectively. This growth was led by new product launches, especially Candid Cream, where secondary sales grew 30% year-on-year annually, while La Shield recorded secondary sales growth of 95% year-on-year. Candid Powder maintained its dominant market leadership status with a market share of 63% in the current financial year. The company also launched Candid Prickly Heat Powder during the quarter. Coming to North America, North America registered revenues from the sale of finished dosage formulations of rupees 7,378 million, which is $98.2 million in Q4 FY22, as against revenues of rupees 8,012 million, which is USD 109.8 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a degrowth of 7.9% year-on-year. The North America business contributed 24% of the total revenues in Q4 FY22 as compared to 28% in Q4 FY21. In FY22, Glenmark was granted approval of 9 ANDAs comprised of 7 final approvals and 2 tentative approvals. Additionally, Glenmark was granted a second tentative approval on a prior approved supplement for the 0.25 mg strength of fingolimod capsules. Notable approvals included lacosamide caps, tablets, clindamycin phosphate foam, and theophylline extended release tablets. The company filed a total of 19 ANDA applications with the US FDA in FY22 and plans to file 14 to 15 ANDAs in FY23. Glenmark completed the successful launch of 10 new products during FY22, consisting of a mix of semi-solid preparations, delayed and immediate release oral solids. Notable launches included lacosamide tablets and rufinamide tablets, where Glenmark was one of the first generics available for launch. Glenmark Canada DS applications with the Canadian Health Authority this quarter. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through 31st March 2022 consists of 174 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. market. The company currently has 46 applications pending in various stages of the approval process with the FDA, of which 20 are Para IV applications. Europe. Glenmark's Europe operations record revenue for Q4 FY22 was at Rs. 4,968 million, as against Rs. 4,223 million, recording growth of 17.6% year-on-year and 30.5% quarter-on-quarter. Europe is 15% of the total revenues in Q4 FY22 as compared to 15% in Q4 FY21. The company witnessed healthy growth in both its key markets of Western Europe and Central Eastern Europe during the quarter. With the continued easing of COVID restrictions, growth in Western Europe was strong, led by double-digit growth in key markets like Netherlands, Spain, and the Nordic countries. The Central Eastern European region maintained its strong growth trajectory, especially in markets like Poland. Amongst the key launches, the company launched 4 products in Germany, 3 in UK, and 2 products in Czech Republic, respectively. Slovenia and Germany launched 1 product each during the quarter. Glenmark has a comprehensive plan to grow its European business going ahead, including geographical expansion in new markets and expansion of its product portfolio to leverage launches in key therapeutic segments like respiratory and dermatology. So, talking about the ROW, which consists of Asia, MEA, LATAM, and RCIS region, for Q4 FY22, revenue from ROW was at Rs. 5,479 million as against Rs. 4,641 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a growth of 18.1% year-on-year. ROW business contributed 18% of the total revenues in Q4 FY22 as compared to 16% in Q4 FY21. The company witnessed healthy growth in base business in the region across all its key geographical segments. As per IQVI Jan-March 22, secondary sales grew 31% year-on-year in value terms in Russia. The company recently received approval for Ambroxo solution, and the overall response to Ryaltris and Ryaltris Mono has been very encouraging in the market. The company has various strategic initiatives to strengthen its respiratory franchise in the region going ahead. Secondary sales in Asia grew 53% year-on-year, led by positive momentum in key markets like Vietnam, Malaysia, and Philippines. The company successfully launched Favispay in Singapore and Hong Kong this quarter under the brand name Virex, and the company has plans to launch in multiple markets in the region in the coming financial year. The Middle East and Africa region recorded primary sales growth of 13% year-on-year during the quarter, with positive growth across major MEA markets like Kenya, South Africa, and Saudi Arabia. The company expects the momentum to continue in FY23 as markets are witnessing signs of recovery due to the easing of lockdown measures. In LATAM, while the company recorded positive growth momentum in markets like Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia during the quarter, the overall business has been impacted by Brazil, where the market remains challenging for the company due to the pandemic. The company is witnessing signs of recovery and expects positive momentum in the market going ahead. Before we discuss, and we would like to share some color on our various initiatives in the respiratory segment, where the company has laid out a clear strategic roadmap to create global scale. Ryaltris is our innovative branded nasal spray where we are creating our first global brand. Glenmark received NDA approval from the FDA in FY22 and expects to launch the product in the US in FY23. Similarly, we received marketing approval for all EU markets and UK in FY22, and have launched Ryaltris in UK, Czech Republic, Poland, Italy, and plan to launch in several markets in FY23, including Belgium, Ireland, and Nordic countries. Similarly, in ROW markets, Ryaltris has been launched in Russia, Australia, South Africa, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Philippines, Peru, Ecuador, Namibia, and Botswana. And we are awaiting regulatory approval in several markets, including Brazil, Malaysia, South Korea, Cambodia in FY23. Apart from Ryaltris, the company plans to file at least 1 to 2 filings in FY23 in Europe and leverage its existing branded portfolio of Soprobec, which is Beclomethasone MDI, Salmex, which is Salmeterone and Fluticasone DPI, Tiogivia, which is Tiotropium DPI, and Ryaltris, to grow the European respiratory franchise. In addition, in the US, the company recently completed a pivotal biostudy on Flovent PMDI and initiated clinical trials with 2,634 patients with expected filing in CY23. We also plan to file one more product in CY23 in the US. Coming to our innovation R&D pipeline, GBR310, Glenmark has announced successful phase 1 results for GBR310 that suggest similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety, and immunogenicity profiles between GBR310 and the reference product omalizumab, marketed in the US under the brand name Zolair. Glenmark is in discussions with potential partners to out-license the product. GRC39815 is currently under phase 1 clinical development in the US, with phase 1 multiple ascending dose studies planned in H1 FY23. In GRC17536, the phase 2B study was initiated in Q2 FY22 and is currently ongoing in India with 238 patients randomized out of total 472 patients till date, with interim data for futility analysis expected by Q2 FY23. GLP toxicology studies for metabolite qualifications are completed in Q3 FY22. The company plans to hold discussions with the FDA to get feedback on the non-clinical package to support the clinical development up to NDA filing this year. GRC 54276, IND enabling studies were completed with a phase 1 submission to the DGCI in Q4 FY22. The company has recently received approval for initiations of phase 1. Patient visits are planned from Q1 FY23. Glenmark Life Sciences. Revenues from operations including captive sales were at ₹5,140.6 million as against ₹4,671.6 million, recording growing at 10% year-on-year for Q4 FY22 and ₹21,232.1 million for FY22, a growth of 12.6%. EBITDA was at ₹1,473.1 million for Q4 FY22 with margins of 28.7%. And ₹6,307.6 million for FY22 with margins at 29.7%. The external sales for Glenmark Life Sciences were ₹3,283 million as against ₹3,311 million in Q4 FY21. The company is in the process of executing brownfield and greenfield capacity expansion projects to support strategic growth levers. For further updates on the organization, please log on to www.glenmarklifesciences.com. Iconos. Glenmark has invested ₹1,640 million, which is $21.9 million, in the fourth quarter of financial year as compared to ₹1,880 million, which is $26 million in Q4 FY21. Thus, in FY22, Glenmark invested ₹6,627 million, which is $89.4 million, as compared to ₹7,570 million, which is $102.3 million in FY21. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to www.iconossciences.com. The pipeline update for the fourth quarter is published on this site. Key objectives for FY23, we expect revenue growth of 6 to 8% during the year. We expect to sustain EBITDA margin performance at similar levels of FY22. We expect capex of ₹7 to 8 billion for the year. We expect to close 1 to 2 out licensing agreements in the innovation pipeline, and the strategic priority to enhance free cash generation for further debt reduction will continue. Some notes on the results. There is a COVID related inventory provision of ₹38.8 crores in Q4 FY22. There is an additional ₹80 to 90 crores of COVID-related products in the trade channels, which we will review in the coming quarters. Forex gain for the quarter was at ₹92 crores and ₹88 crores in FY22, which is recorded in other income. Gross debt for the period ending 31st March 2022 was at ₹3,670 crores as compared to ₹4,687 crores as on 31st March 2021, a reduction of ₹1,017 crores. Net debt for the period ending 31st March 2022 was at ₹2,260 crores as compared to ₹3,549 crores as on 31st March 2021. The total net debt reduction was at ₹1,289 crores. Inventory for the period ending 31st March 2022 was at ₹2,500 crores as compared to ₹2,277 crores as on 31st March 2021. Receivables for the period ending 31st March 2022 was at ₹3,101 crores as compared to ₹2,572 crores as on 31st March 2021. Payables for the period ending 31st March 2022 was at ₹2,289 crores as compared to ₹2,238 crores as on 31st March 2021. Thus, net working capital for the company increased by ₹701 crores in FY22. The total asset addition was at ₹292 crores in the quarter and ₹790 crores in FY22. Of this, the tangible asset addition for the quarter was at ₹235 crores and ₹612 crores in FY22. Total R&D expenditure for the fourth quarter was at ₹323 crores, which was 10.7% to net sales for the quarter, and ₹1,239 crores for FY22, which is 10.1% of net sales. With this, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark on the call. We have Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, and also Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global CFO. I would also like to introduce Brendan O'Grady, who will be joining the company as a Chief Executive Officer, Global Formulations Business, with effect from 10th June 2022. Brendan will lead the commercial business units for GPL and provide strategic leadership for bringing greater focus and alignment across all regions and therapeutic areas. Brendan comes with over 3 decades of rich experience in the pharmaceutical industries, spread across both generics and specialty segments, where he has successfully led and transformed businesses for growth across multiple geographies globally. In his last engagement prior to Glenmark, Brendan was the Chief Growth and Commercial Officer for Amwell, wherein he provided strategic leadership to Amwell's global business operations. Prior to that, he was associated with Teva as the President and CEO of Teva USA and EVP North America Commercial. Brendan spent over 2 decades at Teva, during which he was instrumental in stabilizing and growing the North American business, revitalizing the global specialty strategy and making significant contributions to market access strategies, brand acquisitions and integrations. He also had significant and successful stints with Sanofi Pharma and SC Johnson and Sun at the beginning of his career. Robert Crockett, Chief Commercial Officer, has decided to pursue opportunities outside Glenmark. We wish to thank him for his valuable contributions to the organization during his tenure and wish him the best for his future endeavors. I would request Brendan to share a few words.
So thank you and good morning. As you know, my name is Brendan O'Grady. I'm very excited to join Glenmark on June 10th and bring my nearly 3 decades of experience to the Glenmark team. My purpose this morning is to just really introduce myself and say hello and just let you all know that I look forward to speaking with you more on future quarterly calls. So thank you, and really looking forward to joining the team.
Yeah, thank you, Brendan. With this, we would like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Securities and Capital Markets India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and good morning to all. My first question is, in fourth quarter exceptional items of around $825 million, you mentioned it's related to some product recalls and remediation costs of Monroe. So can you update us, like, what is happening at Monroe? Like, why do we need to carry out remediation and what kind of sales pickup we are expecting from that facility? Because I understand it's one of the key driver for our US sales going ahead.
So just to give you a quick update on Glenmark's US business. So we currently have 5 FDA-approved manufacturing facilities, right? That formulation facilities that supply the U.S. Monroe is one of them. As regards the Monroe facility, as you remember, we had a recall, a voluntary recall to the middle of around August of last year. And since then, we've been remediating the facility. And we haven't supplied product in Q3 and Q4 in the market. So a lot of these costs are related to the recall expenses and the remediation costs. You're probably also aware that we recently had an FDA inspection and we had 17 observations that came out of Monroe. And basically, we're confident of addressing some of these observations. And post that, we will start commercializing product for Monroe. It's a new facility.
Okay, so right now, no supplies, and you're working to resolve the issues which are raised by the US FDA, right? And once these are resolved, supplies will start and normalize.
That's correct.
Okay. My second question is again on the U.S. business. How is the pricing erosion environment there right now? Are we seeing some sign of improvement or it's same as what we saw in the previous quarter? How we should look at this part of business in next few quarters?
I think the U.S. pricing environment continues to stay challenging, right? I mean, we continue to see, you know, around high single-digit price erosion in the U.S. We believe that that will continue into next year.
Okay. My last question is, during the quarter, we see especially high amount of other income. Is there any one-off which is recorded in this number?
Yeah. The other income basically has an exchange gain, which we had just told, 92 crores. That's the only reason.
Okay. Only exchange gain is the exception. Okay, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. Manisha, can you share what is the total cost that we have incurred in the P&L from the Monroe side in fiscal 2022, and how much will that be in fiscal 2023?
Saion, obviously, we spent about $30 million in Monroe last year, out of which about $10 million hits the P&L. Going forward, current year at least it will be lower because we'll be some part of the year in the remediating mode. I would expect it to go lower in the current year.
Okay. $10 million was the P&L impact in fiscal.
Yeah, P&L impact.
Okay. Glenn, the question on Monroe again, I mean, you know, it sort of had a not a great start. I mean, you know, we had to recall product and not producing anything there. You know, the whole idea I thought was that, you know, to have a facility, a new facility which kind of, you know, you can ensure compliance and execution. What went wrong there in your view? You know, what are your thoughts now, given that it may take long to sort of resolve these issues?
Saion, you know, running a facility in the U.S. has been a struggle, right, for most of the Indian manufacturers, right? In fact, if you see in the last quarter, almost four of our peer companies ended up closing down their facilities in the U.S., right? It's been a struggle. We still believe that we're confident that we'll be able to remediate the issues that we faced at Monroe, and hopefully this year, around the Q4 of this year, we should start supplying product back to the market. I mean, that's where we are going with it. It's been a challenge.
Glenn, I mean, why should that be a challenge? I mean, what are the issues that, you know, a facility in the U.S. faces versus, let's say, in India, and especially this is a very new facility without any legacy.
I mean, I can't give you a lot of details, Saion, but I mean, running a facility in the U.S. is not an easy task. I mean, even the likes of Teva, you must have seen recently, had to shut down their Irvine facility, if I'm not mistaken. It's never easy.
Okay. Manisha, there's a question on the cash flow statement. There is a unrealized foreign exchange gain that you booked 227 crores. Now, this number is higher than what you've disclosed in the P&L for the year, which is around 88 crores. This has been a gain for the last five years. What kind of gain is this that you're booking in the P&L, which is not leading to cash flows?
Saion, obviously at the end of the year, there is your overall all your receivables, your payables, your any other kind of loans given, et cetera, all are restated. Obviously some part of that, I mean, some part of that finds its way to the P&L. Broadly, I mean, this is just a reconciliation to the cash, okay? When you do that, you'll obviously have some element of profit in some of these which are not yet realized. So that is what is shown. But in the coming year, when you realize the money, it gets automatically gets adjusted in that. This is a very normal entry in most companies. Every company will find this.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the guidance, I'm just looking at the slide 21, revenue growth of 6 to 8% and similar EBITDA. So just revenue growth, we have done about like 12.5% this year. So what's dragging us down? Is it the fourth quarter run rate which has been slower? And which geographies you think will kind of lead where you think there is still pressure?
So I think, Shyam, if you strip out the COVID drug sales that we had in this year, our revenue growth is double digit, right? So we still believe that, and going, I mean, even on a consistent basis, right, if you strip out the COVID drug sales that we had this year and last year, we're growing double digit, right? Despite the US being slower, right, than the rest of the geographies. So it just tells you the momentum that we have in the business. And we think we will sustain that for the coming year. We have great product launches. Ryaltris will be a big contributor to the coming year, right, for us. So I think the 6 to 8% is because of the high base of COVID drugs that we have in this year. But if you strip that out, it's double-digit growth.
That's helpful. And if I were to look at your EBITDA margin guidance, so you're seeing similar levels, like 19%.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Srinivasan. There's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Shyam. We can hear you.
Yeah. So I was talking about EBITDA margin guidance remaining similar. So we have now done 2 years of similar kind of an EBITDA. So is there any scope that over time we can actually take it beyond the 20% levels? What could be some of the drivers? R&D, I think you're kind of starting to rationalize a lot more. So just want to understand the slightly more longer term outlook for EBITDA.
So Shyam, this is Mani here. So we wanted to guide to a very realistic number, okay? So I think, as you know, I mean, overall, there is some amount of uncertainty. There is some amount of, there are geopolitical issues. And also, we've been seeing that the input costs are a little higher and sometimes expenses also vary. So taking all this into it, we thought we should guide to a 19% rather than to say anything more than that. So I think we're hopeful to reach that.
Yeah. Also, Shyam, on the EBITDA, you know, we have two drivers, right? One is, you know, Ryaltris, you know, will be a significant contributor to the EBITDA. And then secondly, our gross margins are better, should be better this year because COVID drug gross margins are lower compared to our overall gross margins for the business. So these two should further help the EBITDA. But as Mani said, we've been conservative, you know, given the external environment.
So at least at this point of time, the thinking is that all the gains you can make out of these, say, Ryaltris launch and all of that could be offset by raw material inflation.
That's the view.
Also, just to add, see, Shyam, while last year was a good year, the Q4 was a little bit of challenge because of various issues. I think the Q1 also, you would see, you know, closer to 17-18%. It will not touch those levels. So I think after the Q1, things should ramp up better. So these are the reasons why we feel a full year should be closer to where we were last year and the previous year.
Got it, Mani and Zed. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may I please press star and one. Participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much and good morning, everyone. So what's the kind of deleveraging that we are looking at for fiscal 23? Any back of the envelope calculation cash flows?
So, Samit, this is Mani here. Good morning. So, we would not like to really put a number out. Obviously, there has been some amount of challenges when you look across the supply chain. We are confident we should have some amount of deleveraging, but we don't want to put a number out straight away. I feel things are okay, but sometimes the working capital skews also have been a little difficult this year. So I think it's we would definitely guide that we want to reduce it further, but would not want to put a broad number there.
Okay, that's fine, Mani. And the second question is, you talked about Ryaltris US launch sometime in fiscal 23. I mean, can you be a little bit more specific? Is it like second half of this year that we're looking at?
Yeah, it'll most likely be second half, Samir.
Okay, great. And final question, good show on Flovent. You talked about filing in calendar 23. So that does that mean launch sometime in calendar 25? Or if there is anything on IP side which is blocking it?
Samir, it's hard to predict the launch date. It could be earlier. Definitely by 25, we think this product should be on the market.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
I am. Samani, on the working capital, there has been a pretty sharp increase in receivables for the quarter. Typically, supply chain issues have resulted in relatively high inventory across most companies. But in our case, the pressure seems to be coming through the receivable front. Can you help us understand what's happening there?
Yeah, sure. So, Sayan, obviously, there would have been some amount of increase in the debtors because of the growth in the activity and the business. But also because of certain geopolitical issues across, there were some delays in receiving some monies, but we are now receiving all those collections also. So, there was a little bit of a sharp increase in that. So, that's mainly the reason. Inventory also went up, but a number of days we are doing quite okay. And as far as the debtors goes, some portion of that is basically due to these issues that I just elaborated. Yeah. But we're getting all the collections, no problems.
And so, we should realistically expect a reduction in the net working capital cycle this year now again, going back to the previous levels?
I hope it happens, Nitin, but as you can see, there have been challenges on the overall supply chain issues, so it's hard to predict right now. We are hoping that this year it will kind of, on an overall basis, if I look at it really, Nitin, our working capital has gone up by about 8-9 days, but considering all the issues that one has faced, be it China, be it Russia, I think it's something that we need to be mindful of as we go along. Yeah.
Secondly, on the CAPEX guidance for the year, this 700 to 800 crore that you're looking at, how are you looking at? Can you just give a broad breakup of this CAPEX?
So, as you know, we are having a number of brownfield and greenfield projects in our API, GLS. So that should be about 200 crore plus. And we said we guided to between 700 and 800. So the balance, obviously, while we have brought down the what in licensing, whatever we pay, but it will still be there to some extent. Current year also, our intangibles have been around 160 crores or so. If you remove computers also, still it will be 120, 130 crores. So we'll continue to have some in-licensing spends. Besides that, obviously, we will continue to have some normal capexes in GPL as well and some amount on the R&D side as well. So all this will put together, will come close to that. Over the years, we have brought down, Nitin, from almost 1,000 to 900 to 750 odd. We're hoping if at best we can do something about it, but for a company that wants to grow at double digits, some amount of capex does come in. Okay, so that's why we are guiding to a number which we feel is realistic.
Fair enough, sir. And then lastly, on Monroe, what has been a total capex investment in the business so far?
So far, Nitin, we have spent almost about 200 million. So on the all the three lines put together over the years, yeah.
And Glenn, when do we see returns on this $200 million investment, in terms of meaningful returns on this business, on this investment, in your assessment?
So, Nitin, obviously, it's going to take us some time, right? But as I said, look, Monroe is not the only facility, right, that we are supplying to the U.S. We have four other facilities which are supplying product to the U.S. And we continue to stay excited about the U.S. business, just given the, you know, the respiratory filings and everything else we're going to do, we're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just wanted to check on the COVID write-off. So you said 38 crores of inventory written off this quarter. Anything else that is pending, sir, which we will see?
So that is why, Saion, we gave a heads up that in the channel, obviously, we know what's there. There is about almost 90 crores still in the channel. So while there is still time to, you know, for them to expire or whatever, but we will take a call as we go along during the year. Okay. As you can see, some of our peers have had large write-offs and when they expired. In our case, there is life still, I mean, there is still a date. But we will review as we go along in the coming quarters.
Okay. And on the R&D spend, now given the clinical trials on respiratory assets, how should we think about overall R&D spend and split between Ichnos and generics?
So we will continue to spend only about 10%, keep it flat, Sam. And Ichnos would be closer to half of that, about 5% or a little lower than that. And generics would be the balance. As you can see, over the last couple of years, we have been more, very careful about the way we spend in Ichnos. So we'll continue to do that.
Okay. And Glenn, any update on Ichnos readouts, any timeline that you would like to share now?
So I think this year there are four inflection points for Ichnos, right? 1342, we are, we are hoping we'll get POC within the next 3 months, right? 1442, we are starting clinicals, and there's a possibility that this year, because of the starting dose that's been approved by the FDA, we think in this financial year, there's a possibility we may get to POC. And then, 2001, which we recently announced, right, enters the clinics or we file our IND in Q4 of this year. So on the development, and then, of course, one partnering deal is the minimum we expect this year for Ichnos. So these are the four inflection points we think for the year for Ichnos.
Okay. And one last question on the U.S. Generic. So, I mean, should we expect a growth in U.S. this year given the price erosion, or it could be a decline, you think?
We think it will be a low single-digit growth for the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Nimish Maheshwari from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just want to ask, what is your view on the...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Nimish. Your audio is not clear, sir. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Okay. Is it clear now?
Much better. Thank you.
So what is your view on the management view on the COVID in this financial year 23 and ongoing situation?
So we don't anticipate, any COVID sales in FY23, right? We don't, you'll have, as part of the endemic, you'll have some small pockets of COVID incidences happening, but we don't think you're going to see it as a pandemic in FY23, particularly in India. You may see some countries which are still, which still have, COVID cases, and we also export product off and on to some of these countries. But in India, we don't anticipate, any COVID sales in FY23.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal for his closing comments.
Thank you, moderator. We will read the disclaimer before we end. The information, statements and analysis made in this document describing companies or its affiliates' objectives, projections and estimates are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from these statements, depending upon economic conditions, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this document. This document should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events or otherwise. With this, we end the call today. A very big thank you to all of you for joining us on the call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.